If you have your Bibles with you, please open up to Ephesians 4, 17 to 24. Now this I say and testify in the Lord, that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do, in the futility of their mind. They are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, due to their hardness of heart. They have become calloused. They are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because the ignorance that is in them, due to their hardness of heart. They have become calloused and have given themselves up to sensuality, greedy practice, every kind of impurity. They have become calloused and have been given themselves up to sensuality, greedy to practice every kind of impurity. But that is not the way you have learned Christ. Assuming that you have heard him and were taught in him as the truth is in Jesus. To put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life, and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and to put on the new self, created after the likeness of God, in true righteousness and holiness.
Good morning, everyone. I appreciate you having us here. So again, my name is Mark, and if you're familiar with Grace and Truth Christian Fellowship, it's right down 63. Our church is the one that had a church fire. We celebrated that February 9th, was 3 years ago, that we had a church fire, completely destroyed our church. And March 26th of this year, we celebrated our 1 year being in the new church building. And so many of you know that. Many of you prayed for us and raised our arms up as we were getting weary, and we thank you, because when people say that we felt your prayers, I can really tell you we felt your prayers. And it was a long haul, you know. But we look at the beautiful building that we've been blessed with and look at it symbolically of what he did with the spiritual building for those 2 years. And so we just all glory and honor to God, and we're so thankful. And again, I'm blessed here. God has blessed me with a friendship with your pastor Dave, and we've been getting together once in a while, and he's been just such a great brother and a great friend to me, and a great encourager. And he's met us. We've met several times at our cafe. We have a ministry in Geneseo called Cafe Shiloh. It's right on Main Street in Geneseo, and that's what Dave asked me to share a bit about the ministry. I'm honored to do that, because we've been there. This year we're celebrating 10 years at Cafe Shiloh on Main Street in Geneseo, which is a testimony in itself, right? Knowing that there's been a lot of different Christian cafes or bookstores or everything, and they don't seem to last. And we're in awe that we're going on 10 years and seeing the fruit in the ministry and what the body of Christ coming together and serving. And that was the vision. In the very beginning, when the Lord gave me a vision for it, it was about God's church, right? It wasn't about the different buildings we attend. It's about God's church. It's about the unity of the body of Christ, and it's about the gifts that God's equipped each and every one of us with to come together and serve one another, serve each other, encourage each other, serve the Lord, and may his name be glorified. So yeah, it's a beautiful, we're just so blessed with it. And then that was the heart with the cafe. The heart was to just be a witness to the community, and especially too, because we're walking distance to SUNY Geneseo, if you're familiar with Geneseo State University, and just wanted to have the body of Christ come together and encourage each other and serve each other. And we wanted to establish like a home away from home for the students and for the community. And, you know, things like my bride makes a homemade baked goods, homemade pies, and things like that. So whenever my family wants them, we have to go there, because they don't stay in the house. But anyways, homemade soups and stuff. Just want to make something unique and home, especially with the students, to have them feel like they're home away from home. And it's just been a blessing over the years. And it's all volunteer staff. It's all volunteer servers. And it is with the body of Christ and students that come together, and they come and serve, and the students learn a business, they learn life, you know, they learn how to run a business, and a lot of the I gotta be careful with that, the older than students servers of the churches really like are like aunts and uncles or moms and dads, you know, away from home with the students, and really take them under their wing. And it's just a real, it's a real beautiful thing seeing the body of Christ come together and seeing all the different gifts of everyone that God's given us, right? And encourage each other in the gifts. There's a lot of gifts sitting here that God's blessed us with, and we need to stir each other up to unto good works. And the cafe ministry, if you're not familiar with it, we also, you know, allow anyone that wants to use it to have prayer meetings, to have whatever they want to do, gatherings. We have a lot of people from the community, a lot of people from different churches that will use it. I'll give them a key after hours and get them set up where they can just have a place to come and not feel pressured at all, because it's truly for the body of Christ. And there's different Bible studies going on and worship times, and it is totally the Lord's. And to see the unity there and everyone coming together, it's awesome. So if you ever need a place to go and just hang out, it's all the Lord's. Let me know. And it's a great time to just come in and serve and just to have that home away from home. And what I wanted to just want to touch on that a bit, of what God's doing there. You know, we understand, obviously, missions overseas is very important, right? And that we support a lot of missionaries and to spread the gospel around the globe. And we know that's important. And what really was impressed upon me 10 years ago was when Jesus says that you're to be witnesses of me in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. You know, and thinking about that geographically, it's like, wow, Jerusalem's our own backyard, right? I mean, I understand it's important to reach out, but also let's not forget about where we are right in our own backyard, right? And that's a command, right? That's what we were supposed to do, right? And another scripture that, these are two scriptures that I just wanted to share that we've been holding on to. And the other one is when Jesus says that that he gives us a new command, right? That he says, he says to love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you're my disciples if you have love for one another. And that's what we've been really standing on. And over the years, we've seen a lot of co-laboring going on with local churches and just getting together with the different pastors and saints and just coming together and gleaning and praying and just bouncing things off and really co-laboring. There's a local church in Geneseo that has a real a big presence on campus, Geneseo State University, and they're very involved in that. And we co-labor. We meet every week at the cafe and just pray, and we minister to the same students, and they walk to their church because it's walking distance, which, praise God, again, it's all about God's church. And so God's really blessed us with a lot of different friendships and in that heart of co-laboring. There's a Christian organization on campus called InterVarsity Christian Fellowship, if you're familiar with that. It's a recognized Christian organization on campus. There's another one called Ratio Christi, and that's an apologetic Christian organization that's recognized on campus. So we're very tied in with them, and by being tied in with them, that allows us to be on campus. So we're asked to teach, we're asked to go to different events, and by the student-run organizations, we're allowed to get on campus and share the gospel, which is, I remember 10 years ago, it was like, Lord, this would be wonderful if, boy, somehow can we like be on campus? And it's like, wow, Lord, you are so faithful to just bring us to be able to be on there and share the good news. And it's all different co-laboring opportunities, and I encourage you to please pray for it and be part of it if God calls you to be part of it. And the cool thing is, I was telling Matt that last week I preached at another friend's church, and it was neat. There's one lady there. She is a sweet sister in the Lord and just a wonderful woman. And she came up to me and a couple times ago when I covered, but again last week too. She graduated from Geneseo State University in 1956. And she said, you know, she goes, I am so blessed to hear what God's doing on campus. She goes, I was one of seven of the first Christian organizations on that campus in 1956. And that we've been praying to hear the very thing. And it was such a blessing to know that her prayers were heard, her faithfulness, their faithfulness to continue to pray and walk in their calling. And now we're seeing the fruit of that. And that's such a beautiful thing. So take note of that. That's what God has us do, amen? That we can be praying and interceding. We may not see instant fruit, but believe me, he's hearing us, right? He's doing that work. Again, like Matt said, it's by the Spirit of God that does that work, right? So it was just such a sweet thing to know. It was so cute. She would be like, yeah, we would drive my parents' big, and I'm picturing back then, right, big station wagon. She goes, because we wouldn't have a place to meet. So I'd drive my parents' station wagon from Nunday, and we would all meet. We'd gather in the station wagon. And I'm like, that was a big station wagon, right? But they would, if they couldn't do it on campus, they were doing it in the station wagon, faithfully praying and interceding for the very thing that God's been doing for all these years. That's one instant. That's just one instant. God gives us a slice of a glimpse of what he's doing globally. So anyways, I also want to share, too, how God, so I want to encourage everyone about the gifts that God's given you, that God has given us gifts that we really need to walk in. And because if we're not walking in them, not only do we lose out on blessings, but we're withholding blessings from the body of Christ if we're not walking in the gifts that he's given us, right, to edify one another. And the perfect example I want to share with you, there's two, again, older than student ladies. I don't want to get anyone upset. But they've been very faithful servant at the cafe. And they have been really like the mother figure to a lot of the students. And I just want to give you one testimony. There was a student from downstate, and she was a Christian. And her very first semester, she was so depressed, and she did not have a good experience, and she wanted to transfer. She was going to transfer after the first semester. And she wouldn't come out of her dorm, and she heard Cafe Shiloh, and she goes, you know, before I leave, I'm just going to stop by. It's a Christian place. I need some Christian. And I got to tell you, she stopped in, and I know it was a Tuesday because the other woman that I was telling you about, she serves on Tuesday. God knew that this student needed to meet this woman on that Tuesday. That's when the Spirit prompted her to go in there. And she took this young girl under her wing, and she loved on her, and she was the mother away from home. And she would go over to their house for meals and got to know the family, and just they loved on her. And the blessing is that she stayed, and she actually stayed for graduate school. She's just finishing up now. But it was God knew that she needed to meet this one woman, because the gifts, the love, the heart, the service that this one woman had, he knew that this is what this girl needed. And that's the God that we serve. Amen. There's another woman that serves too, and she, it's funny because these two ladies that I'm speaking of, they're just so sweet, so soft-spirited, and they both say that, you know, this has helped me come out of my shell, right? But it's so wonderful. This other woman, she's done three or four, going on four now, retreats for these young girls at her home, like an all-day retreat. Overnights and retreats and teaching the word and teaching them life. I mean, it's like, it's amazing. God uses the gifts that he's given us. And we just need to walk in them. Another part of the ministry, too, is it's not just college, right? It's the community. We want to be a light and witness to the community. And about 7 years ago, the opportunity opened up where the village of Geneseo has concerts in the park in the village. And for the last 7 years, we have been Cafe Shiloh, their only vendor, and they only want us there on Friday nights. And I think it's because of my bride's pies. But so we have homemade baked goods, homemade pies, and all that. But it's such a wonderful thing that it's a big commitment. It's tiring. And I remember last year I was just looking at my bride and I'm like, this is a lot of work, especially for you. This is getting tiring. And it hit me. It's like, but praise be to God for this, because when we prayed 10 years ago that we want to be a witness to the community, we didn't know what that looked like. And we're walking in answered prayer. That's the faithfulness of our God. And it does get tiring, but you know what? It's a good tire, right? It's eternal rewards, right? They accept us. They love us, all the servers there. They allow us to pass out whatever we want to pass out. We can pray with the people. And again, going on 8 years now, being a vendor in the community. So not only is it for the campus, but it's also for the community. And so it's been such a blessing. And I want to tell you, too, how God is, you know, exceedingly abundantly more than you ever imagine or think, the way our Lord works. And just recently we had alumni We're blessed. We got a really lot of good friendships over the years with the college students, and we're so blessed that they stay in touch, and we feel like we have all these different, you know, new family members, right, in Christ, obviously. But we had an alumni. She graduated 2 years ago, and she showed up at our house just after Christmas, and she said, you know, I got saved when I came to Geneseo. And she goes, 90% of my time of fellowship with Christians and growing as a Christian was at the cafe. And she says, you know, now I'm not part of it, and I can't stop thinking about what God has done there in my life alone, and I want to make sure that that continues. And she says, now I can partner up. Now that I'm in the business world, I want to start supporting the cafe monthly. It was like, oh my gosh, Lord, you're amazing. Like, we didn't even ask for that, you know, but he is faithful, and he is our provision in every way, spiritually, physically, and emotionally. And one last thing I will tell, because I've got a time limit here, right? I haven't even got into the word yet. I'm sorry. And this is what I want to encourage you. Last semester, do you ever have it where you feel in your spirit God is ministering something to you, and he's wanting to go forward in something, but you kind of tuck it in your heart and you just pray on it, and you're like, you don't share it with anyone, and all of a sudden you start seeing it come to life, and you're like, okay, praise God, that was you totally. Well, that happened last semester. Our prayer was that the different faith groups, the different leadership of the different Christian organizations, the different college students, the different in the community, to get together, all together, to pray. Let's just pray. And that happened last year, last semester. We get together, and I'm opening this up to you. Anyone on a Wednesday from 12 to 1, if you're ever in the area, stop by and pray. We would love it. But we were praying, and all the faith group, all of us were together praying. And what came out of that is we had a prayer night on campus, and there was about 100 students and faculty and staff from Geneseo State University. And it was a beautiful thing. And after that, just pondering on that, I was thinking, you know, I wonder if all the students know who their faculty and staff are true, which ones know if they're believers or not. I wonder if the faculty and staff know the students, or even know their own coworkers, their own colleagues. Do they know? And so I felt like all I could think of was Elijah, right? When Elijah said that, am I the only sin-hating man? And God said, there's 7,000 of you. So as we were praying through that, we thought, you know what? We want to get the faculty and staff together and let them know that they're not alone. Let them know that we're praying for them every single week. But not just to pray general prayers. We want to know what their specific prayers are. So we have built several relationships with different faculty and staff there. And you hear the comments that I feel like I'm a, you know, believers. I feel like I'm on an island of my own. It's really tough here. And we started sharing about some of the people that we know, and they're like, wait a minute, they're believers? You know, like, didn't even know that they were believers. So anyways, to make a long story short, we opened up the cafe once a month and blessed the faculty and staff, all the ones that we knew from our circle that we knew that were professing Christians. We wanted to bless them with a free lunch at the cafe once a month, get their specific prayers, let them know and see who else is fellow believers that they work with, and to know that we're standing with them, we're praying with them. And so we started that in February. And our prayer was, Lord, if only one or two show, that would be a blessing. Well, 14 showed, and it was such a blessing. And they were amazed that they didn't realize how many different believers were on campus. And they gave us some specific personal prayer requests, and we've been praying weekly. And we've already been hearing, we're going to do another one. We just did one last week, but we're going to continue to do it. To hear the answered prayer builds all of our faith, right? And it's just beautiful. So anyways, we're seeing also, too, these coworkers are bringing other coworkers that they've been reaching and been ministering the gospel to, and now they're coming. You know, it's not that intimidating to come to a cafe, right? And so we're really blessed with that. And and I just tell you, really, keep them in prayer. And all campuses around, I'm not just saying Geneseo, but I know that one of the professor friends of mine said, he goes, you know, I was told that if I wasn't too vocal with my faith, I would get tenure a lot quicker. That's what they're dealing with. That's what they're dealing with. So anyways, I just wanted to encourage you with that, because, again, we've been there 10 years. 10 years. And sometimes in our Christian walk, we can just feel like we're just status quo. We're going on doing the same thing, the same old thing. 10 years, and he's bringing new opportunities. 10 years, he's bringing the churches together, the body of Christ together, and he wants his saints to advance in his kingdom, and he wants his saints to advance the kingdom, right, by the power of the Holy Spirit, all for his glory. So this message today is for everyone here that's in Christ, that he does not want us to become complacent. He does not want us to settle where we're at in our walk and in our life. Doesn't matter how long we've been in Christ, doesn't matter how old we are in Christ or how old we are physically. And I'm here not only to share the marvelous work of what God's doing in this ministry in Geneseo. I know he's doing a work here in Dansville. I know he is, and I've heard it, and I'm blessed by it. And I know that if you're in Christ, he's using you for his glory. Because that's why we're here, isn't it? To be used by his glory. Isn't the purpose of the church to both glorify God and to inform the world about the work of Christ as Redeemer, as Savior? But I also know, too, that the enemy wants to come against us. Do you ever feel that? The enemy wants to stop us and stop our witness. Do you ever feel that? Do you ever feel tripped up by that? In Christ, we are sealed with the Spirit until the day of redemption. But the father of lies, right? The father of lies, he can't take that from us, but he can rob us of our joy. He can rob us of our peace, and he can rob us of our hope. And that can lessen the witness that we have for our King. He wants us to settle, and he wants us to walk in the mindset that our life is fruitless. Now, I want to encourage you today that in the victory that we have in Christ Jesus. And how can we be overcomers in the spiritual battle? By knowing and embracing his truth and walking according to it. No matter what our feelings are, no matter what our circumstances are, that does not change the absolute truth of God's word of who we are in Christ Jesus. And we may feel at times defeated as a Christian. We may feel discouraged. We may struggle to live a godly, joyful life at times. We may struggle with temptations or besetting sins and that we seem that are so overwhelming and impossible to overcome. Sometimes we may feel inadequate and convinced that we'll never change. Too many shortcomings for God to use us. Sometimes we think, is this really what the Christian life is like? Is this all it is? And I believe, and I want to say today, that I believe that these struggles and these discouragements, the lies from the enemy. We need to fully understand who God declares us to be, and we need to know and have an accurate understanding of who we are in Christ. That means being intentional, as was shared earlier, being intentional of knowing the Word of God. We are called to train ourselves for godliness. I was meeting with the hockey coach at Geneseo, great believer, wonderful brother, watching him as he's talking with him and fellowshipping him as the hockey players are really banging it out, sweating and bouncing off each other and really training hard. And they did really well this year, really trained hard. And I just kept thinking, wow, we're called to train for godliness. Am I really putting that much effort into it? What they're training for had no eternal value. But to train for godliness has all the eternal value. And that's what that word continues to say. It says, train yourself for godliness as it holds promise for the present life and also for the life to come. And I want to say too, the sign, you know, we have our struggles, we have our shortcomings, we have our different thoughts and emotions, and they may not all line up and are a blessing to the Lord. But I want to tell you, the sign of whether, excuse me, you're indwelt by the Holy Spirit is not that you have those thoughts, but it's that you're at war with them. Isn't that a big difference? When you come to Christ, you know that I am at war with those thoughts. I never even acknowledged them before. I couldn't because I didn't have the Spirit of God indwelling in me. So if this sounds new to anyone here of what it means to be in Christ, please don't leave here today without knowing. Today is a day of salvation. Even if you're not familiar with what that means, please ask. Don't leave here today without knowing. So 1 John 5:4-5, I wanted to share real quick. 1 John 5, it says, for everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that we that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world except the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? So by believing that Jesus is the Son of God, we're redeemed, we're transformed. It means that we become an overcomer of the world. The word overcomer simply means to conquer, to have victory, to overcome, to be the victor. It's from the Greek word Nikeo. Some may remember this word as Nike, right? That's where that word comes from, victor, overcomer. So whenever you see the Nike emblem, know, look at that and know who you are in Christ, that you're an overcomer of this world, that you're a victor, and you can walk in victory, right? We walk from victory. We don't fight for victory. It's completed, amen? So we walk from victory. Jesus said in John 16:33, he also said, he says, I have said these things to you that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart. I have overcome the world. In other words, we are in Christ. When we are in Christ, we enter into his overcoming of the world. That's a promise to really hang on to. When we are in Christ, our citizenship becomes heavenly. And we are to live as heavenly citizens. We are to live as overcomers. You know, I know a lot of times, I know from my experience when I came to Christ and I knew that I knew, right? I believe in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I knew that I have eternal life. It was an amazing transformation. And I knew that I had eternal life. One day I would be in glory with the Heavenly Father, right? But then it's like, okay, but then you're still walking this life. And there's struggles. And there's discouragement. It's like, wait a minute. There are so many more promises this side of heaven that we need to grasp, we need to embrace, and we need to walk in them. Because those promises, as much as we're holding on by our faith, what Jesus did on the cross for our eternal life, and we're holding on to that, assured of that, we can do the same thing and hold on to just as much as we do on the promises this side of heaven. And we need to know those promises, we need to embrace those promises, and we need to train ourselves for godliness. So how do we walk in victory on a daily basis? How do we live in such a way that our lives bear the fruit of the Spirit, right? The fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. How do we walk in victory every day? And I believe we'll find the answer in the epistle, Ephesians, and we're going to get to that. All right. So I love the book of Ephesians, and for time's sake, I'm just going to touch on it briefly, but I encourage you to read Ephesians. Read it often. Read it often. There's so many blessings there in the very first chapter of who we are in Christ. So we get to know who we are in Christ, and then we get to know how to live that out. If we want to call a theme to it, the Christian's riches in Christ, right? Grace. Do you ever hear the acronym for grace? I love this. I'm sure you have. God's riches at Christ's expense. Ephesians is a beautiful epistle. Paul's intention was to equip a maturing church. So let's just touch on this real quick. So Paul gives us a contrast of our old nature, as we read earlier, and our new nature. Verses 17 through 19 describe our walk, our old nature, our old lifestyle. As was read, the root of the problem is the hardness of heart that darkens our understanding, and the result is an ignorance of the reality of the things of eternity, and it alienates us from the life of God. And we're ignorant of the things of God in eternity, and our desires go after the wrong things, and none of our desires have a proper relation to God. So basically, we accomplish nothing of eternal significance, right? That's the old life, the old nature, the old lifestyle. We're even told back in chapter 2 of Ephesians, and you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. Remember that right there in verse 3, the mind. So verse 20 to 24 tells us what our new life should look like. Paul tells us what our responsibility is, and it is a responsibility. Just like Matt read this earlier, the changed life requires putting off the old style. As putting off of a piece of garment, right? Taking off the old and putting on the new. Changed into a different kind of conduct. We're told in the Colossians, but now you must put them away, all of them. Anger, wrath, malice, slander, obscene talk from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices. And we'll get right to the answer, how we can walk in victory on a daily basis. And that's right in verse 23. Be renewed in the spirit of your minds. The emphasis is the mind, or the outlook of a believer. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. The mind is the key of our Christian life. The mind is the key of our Christian walk. And in that, knowing the Word, embracing the Word, that's how we have victory, because it's in the mind. And we have to hold on to these. We have to train ourselves to hold on to these promises. But before we hold on to them, we need to know what they are. The Greek word translated repentance carries the notion of a changed mind. So our thinking must be transformed from the old, the ungodly ways of thinking, into the new, the godly ways of thinking. Knowing who we are in Christ and knowing the promises, again, we need to walk in those, right? Don't be just hearers of the word, but be doers as well. What we know in our minds to be true creates a conviction in our hearts of that truth. And that conviction turns into action. Therefore, we must first renew our minds. We must fill our minds with God's word. Just as Jesus said, he says, sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. When we become a new creation in Christ, God gave us a new mind, but we've got to fill it with new thoughts. I think about New Year's a lot. I have so many different New Year's resolutions that I break at like probably the 3rd of January. But I realize that a lot of it's physical things, you know, diet, exercise, and all that, and you try to replace bad habits. But I realize that they don't stick because I'm not replacing with good habits, with good godly habits. And that's what I need to do, and I need to do that daily. Philippians tells us, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things that are pure and just, holy, good report, honest. Set your minds on the things that are above, not on things that are on this earth. For you have died and your life is hid with Christ in God. Fill your mind with the truth of heaven. Colossians 3:2-3. Paul also says, do not lose heart. Though our outer nature is wasting away, our inner nature is being renewed every day. Because we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal. Amen? So it's the way we think that makes the difference. The old style and the new style have a completely different thinking process. In verse 24, it tells us that, and to put on the new self created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. Colossians 3:12 tells us, put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. If our attitudes, if our thoughts, our emotions, our practices come from the spirit of a renewed mind, then they will be the creation of God in righteousness and holiness, just like we're told in verse 24. So if we agree with Paul that I have been crucified with Christ, it is no longer that I live, but Christ who lives in me. And if we agree and we walk as overcomers with a risen Christ and live as heavenly citizens, we will walk like Christ, we will think like Christ, we will love like Christ, and we will serve like Christ. Amen? Charles Spurgeon, known as the Prince of Preachers, he said, so if you want to know the Lord Jesus Christ, you must live with him. First, he must himself speak to you, And afterwards, you must abide in him. He must be the choice companion of your morning hours. He must be your thought throughout the day. And with him, you must also close the night. And as often as you wake up during the night, you must say, when I awake, I am still with thee. I love Charles Spurgeon and how God has just blessed many of us gleaning from him. And it just reminds me of what we read earlier about knowing Christ. You know, it's not just knowing about him, though we need to know about him, that Jesus came fully God, fully man, right? He died for the sins of the world and that, you know, redemption is through the blood of Christ. So we need to know some things about him, but to know him and to be taught of him, it's a personal thing, right? And I think about that with Charles Spurgeon. I love Charles Spurgeon. I love reading about Charles Spurgeon. I know a lot about Charles Spurgeon, but I don't know him. I know about him. We're so blessed by gleaning from Charles Spurgeon, we even have a golden retriever that we named Spurgeon. He was the prince of puppies. But true story, Mary Beth was part of that naming. Thank you, Mary Beth. But we need to know more, not just know about him, but we need to be taught in him. We need to know him as that personal thing and that personal relationship. And that's just being steeped in his word and knowing who we are in Christ. It's always in Christ, in Christ, in Christ, right? We need to know who we are in Christ. So I believe another truth to embrace that will empower us to walk in victory is found in Romans. And it's my prayer for all of us. Paul tells us, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, in order that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you might abound in hope. Romans 15:13. And you'll see there, it's in believing that we are filled with joy and peace. And we abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. We're told that hope does not disappoint us because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, which has been given to us. So joy and love flow from hope, which abounds by the power of the Holy Spirit. And this love and joy are the fruit of the Spirit. And this hope that we're talking about, this is not the hope that we know in the world that has a negative connotation to it. Like, I know a lot of us have been saying, I hope it's not going to snow again. But that was with a negative connotation around here, amen? Right? This biblical hope is the confidence that the future promised to us by the Word of God is going to really come true. That's the hope, and that's biblical hope, that it's assured hope, it's guaranteed hope, and it's completed hope. That's what we have in Christ. I love when the Westminster, the Shorter Catechism says, what is the chief end of man? Man's chief end is to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. As we renew our mind and we embrace who we are in Christ and we abound in this assured, completed hope, how can we not glorify God? How can we not enjoy him? How can we not be his witnesses as we're called to be? Our lives will look different, should look different, and it will come natural if we continue to really embrace who we are in Christ and walk in him. I will share one other testimony that I want to tie it in here with. There was a student a few years back. She came from Long Island, and she came to Geneseo State, and she came on a soccer scholarship. And when she got to Geneseo, she blew out her knee. She never did play soccer. Sounds horrible, doesn't it? She was in the world in every way you can imagine. She was a philosophy major. And God apprehended her. She came to Christ. And I want to say in a radical way, but I know that salvation and transformation is all radical in our lives, right? This was amazing. We met her in Cafe Shiloh. Just walked in one day and she was in Cafe Shiloh. And several got to pour into her, love on her, disciple her. She became truly our spiritual daughter. And she didn't like Geneseo. She looked at Geneseo as Nineveh. She's like, I don't want to come back. I'm done, right? Bad memories, right? But then she started realizing that When she saw things around, she realized, this is where I was. And this is what God did for me in my life. These are good memories now. You know, I think about when the paralytic was on the mat and the guys took him to Jesus when he was teaching in Capernaum. And what did Jesus say? Jesus says, your sins are forgiven. You take up your mat and walk. He didn't need the mat. Why didn't he say, leave the mat there? I believe that Jesus wanted him to see the mat and know where he was and know what Jesus did for him. And that's what she did in Geneseo. And she was the one that was instrumental in starting Ratio Christi, the apologetic organization on campus. She couldn't stay away from Geneseo. She kept going and coming back and going and coming back. And then with a friend of hers, Korean friend, through a Korean church, they went to Mexico. She said that was a culture shock in Mexico eating Korean food. But she was there for 8 months the first time. Guess what she did? Guess what the Lord did through her? Started a soccer ministry, sharing the gospel with all these little kids. So God still used what she thought was done with. And then she went a second time, another 8 months. And the ministry is amazing. And we talk about Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And to see that happening is beautiful. And she is now in British Columbia and working at a Christian camp. But I want you to know that that testimony is to encourage each and every one here that you don't know who you're talking to. You don't know who you're witnessing to. You don't know who you're loving on and how he's going to use them for his glory and for his honor. I think of the saints that the Lord used in Spurgeon's life. Think about that. Or you think the Christian giants, right? Calvin, Luther, Whitfield. You think about all of them and the parents, the moms, the whomever God used. And look how blessed we are still gleaning from these brothers and sisters. And women alike. You know, I was just thinking the other day about Fanny Crosby. You familiar with Fanny Crosby? She's a blind woman that wrote over 8,000 hymns. Wow. Wow. Billy Graham. I don't remember life without Billy Graham, right? He's been around a long time, right? Our lifetime, we've been blessed to witness the impact that he had made on the kingdom of God. All we have to do is just be faithful and trust the Spirit. Now, we may not all be called to be Martin Luther's or Whitfield's or Billy Graham's, but I will tell you something, we are all called. Amen? We all have the same Spirit indwelling us as those men and those women had, the same Spirit indwelling in them. And it's the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. Try to wrap your mind around that. But we are all called. As I close, I want to just go back to that scripture in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, into Samaria, and to the end, into the end of the earth. This wasn't a command, really. It was really a factual statement, wasn't it? He says, when, right? And then he says, you shall be witnesses unto me. I want you to take a look here at the places that Jesus described. Jerusalem. It's where Jesus was executed. You think the disciples were pretty happy about that, to go and be witnesses there? What about Judea, where they completely rejected his ministry, right? Or Samaria was regarded as a wasteland of impure half-breeds. Or the innermost parts. What did the Jews think of the Gentiles? So it's not just a geographical thing that we have to look at here, but it's a people. So I ask today, where is your Jerusalem? Where's your Judea and your Samaria? Is it your town? Is it outside your town? Is it outside the county? Where is it? Maybe it's not just the location, but maybe it's a certain people that God has you in the midst of. Maybe it's a people that you're supposed to reach. Maybe it's a people that may be a little bit out of our comfort level, right? I don't know. It could be a people. You may feel that you're not where God wants you physically. You may feel where God doesn't want, where you're not there spiritually, or you're not spiritual enough, or you're not, a theologian in the word enough to be used, and there's too many shortcomings, and God's mercy is new every morning, amen? And I want to encourage you with this. It's the gospel plus nothing. It's not the gospel plus my ability. It's the gospel plus nothing. And it's by the Holy Spirit that indwells us. So please hear me. If you believe that God is sovereign, then God has you right where he wants you. And he will use you right where you are. He wants you to rely on the power of the Holy Spirit to be his witnesses. He wants people to know that you are disciples by the love that you have for one another, by the joy and by the hope, the biblical hope. But are you willing? Are we willing? Again, Charles Spurgeon, the Holy Spirit will move them by first moving you. If you can rest without their being saved, they will rest too. But if you are filled with an agony for them, if you cannot bear that they should be lost, you will soon find that they are uneasy too. I close with this from Billy Graham. He says, it is by the Holy Spirit's job to convict, God's job to judge, and my job to love. Amen. Amen.